Welcome back to the Breakside Podcast, here for episode 50. This is your ultimate destination for in-depth collegiate professional Frisbee discussions and interviews. I'm your host, David Adamitis. This episode's guest is currently an MBA student playing his fifth year for Ave Maria University, making his second interview appearance on the podcast, while he is also currently the co-host of At the Whiteboard segments. Introducing Garrett Hallinan. Garrett, welcome back. I'm so excited to dive into this. How are you doing?
David, I'm doing well, man. It's a pleasure to be here. There's nothing like getting the opportunity to participate and be a part of the Breakside Podcast. So just looking forward to another great Frisbee conversation here with you.
And it's a little extra exciting here, I think. Episode 50, that's a big number to hit here. You know, back in the beginning when you and I started this last summer, our goal was just to get 10 episodes out. So I'm really grateful that you joined for episode 50. And just really shows how far it comes, how much effort you and I both put into this. And I'm excited to dive into this past year, get some updates on what you've been doing in the Frisbee world. Since the last time we talked, which was about 6 months ago, was when you had decided that you were going to pursue an MBA at Ave Maria University and play for another year of Frisbee there. So initial thoughts, I imagine it was a very different feeling coming back for that fifth year. What was that transition back into the team? Not as a senior, not as a junior, but as an MBA student. What was that transition like?
It wasn't easy. I knew a lot of the guys, thankfully, so I guess that part of it was easy. But in terms of where I was physically, I'd gotten back into the habit of going to the gym, which was good. But running-wise, I wasn't in great shape there. I was putting a lot of emphasis into strength and just trying to be able to put my body out there. But I realized pretty quickly that I needed to focus more on endurance. So that first game in January was definitely a struggle. I got to play for a good portion of that game, which was a lot of fun, but I didn't play very well. I knew that I had a lot of work to do. But in terms of the camaraderie with the guys, that came back really quickly because thankfully I have a good relationship with everybody on the team. But as an athlete, and where my body was, it took some time for sure. After that game, it probably took me about a month or so, maybe 6 weeks, to really get to where I felt comfortable for the rest of the season.
I'm going to expose you a little bit here. I think back in the beginning of the spring semester, one of those early games, you actually, you know, so physically draining. I think you actually threw up after one of those games there. And that just, you know, highlights the intensity of this sport, which I think a lot of people don't realize. You know, the mentality a lot of people have is that it's just people tossing around a plastic disc in the backyard, but it's, you know, high level ultimate. It's so competitive. It's so intense. So highlight for me a little bit more that physical side. You know, you said you initially struggled and it took your time to get back into that. What was that phase of the semester like for you?
So when I play, I run a lot, and sometimes I run more than I need to. And I've tried to work on that throughout my years playing. My role when I play is I'm a hybrid. So I'm not the guy to make the big throws, so I don't really get to wait back on my heels and do that stuff as much. I'm more of an initiating cutter. I'm the one who tends to get the hockey assists and kind of set people up for success. So it requires a lot of energy. It's a lot of quick movements and things like that. So the first semester, I didn't play, so I wasn't in that sort of shape that necessitates being able to play that role that I play on the field. And so it was a matter of just running on the treadmill and just really getting that back and going to the field and cleaning up once a week is what I would do just by myself. And I would practice my cuts and I would do the sprints that were necessary to put myself back in that position where I could really fulfill my role.
And being an MBA student and coming back for next year, it's not uncommon. There are a lot of fifth year, sixth year players. In fact, the guy who was on this podcast last week, Aiden, plays for Pitt. He's a six-year MBA student, and he's given his all out there, and he's, you know, really one of the leaders helping lead his team towards, you know, hopefully making that Nationals berth for Pitt again. But so it's not a challenge that you face that's uncommon. So many people do it, but it requires a different, you know, approach, a different sense of discipline, I think. And in your case, you weren't living on campus. You had distance, you're living away, you know, about 30-minute drive, and you're working a full-time job. So you add those variables to it. And my mind goes to this idea of discipline. You just mentioned that you're going to clean up and you're going to do sprints by yourself. And I'm sure that's such a change from being so involved, the daily workouts with the team. but that's a choice you decided to make. Tell me a little bit about saying yes to this whole idea that I'm going to be disciplined, I'm going to put this effort in there, and I'll give everything I have to this.
I tried to make it selfless. A lot of those decisions that I made about 6 months ago now were about me, and I knew that I wanted to reintegrate myself into the sport. I knew I wanted to give myself this opportunity to pursue this degree. So yes, there were selfish motives there. But once I started to undergo the process, I realized that it would be more fulfilling, it would be more worthwhile if I converted it into a more selfless position. And so a lot of days after school, I didn't want to go to the gym to run on the treadmill for 15, 20 minutes and do whatever else I need to do. I wanted to go home and just relax, but I took the approach and realized that I needed to spend that time, since I wasn't practicing with the team, in order to make those steps and make that progress. And it was just that mentality of, if not now, then when? Like, if I don't do this, it's not as if I have as much free time to do it like I did in college. You could kind of get away with, you know, maybe not working out a particular point in the day, but I knew after school, this is my window before I have to tend to these other responsibilities. So really just trying to adopt that selfless mentality and realize that I made this decision, I signed up for this, and in order to give back in the way that I know that I can, I have to make myself uncomfortable in order to grow.
I think that's truly commendable, right? You put yourself out there and you've worked in this mindset, you've understood what it's going to take to be successful where you currently are and what it's going to take for this team to be successful with you being a piece of that. And that's amazing. And listening to you talk and understanding the team, it sounds as if this is such a typical kind of idea of what the team culture pushes. And that's an amazing, unique, special thing about Ave Maria Foster. So tell me more about what the culture of Ave is like that grows something like that you feel comfortable. I can give myself in this and the team supports you there.
It's infectious. And Michael Minnendorf said that word first months ago when David and I were first starting on this podcast. You and I love that word, David, infectious. You feel it. There's something in the air. There's something that you know that you can be a part of. It's just a matter of immersing yourself into it and putting forth the effort in order to be a part of that. And so that first game there that I described, it was against Miami. It's the game when I wasn't, you know, feeling well at all. I realized that I hadn't fully clung on yet and committed to the sport and playing the extra year. And that was kind of a huge hurdle for me, because from that point on, I realized if I really want to immerse myself in this, if I really want to feel this infectious feeling that we've described before, then I have to put in the time, because the guys are putting in the time. The guys at Ave are waking up at 5:45 a.m. and getting to 6 a.m. practice. And I was doing the same thing, but I was going to teach. And so obviously there's a difference there. And I had to put the physical strain on myself after my workday, because like I talked about before, that was the only time. So I really just wanted to be in on that feeling of just that overall joy. And I knew I just had to get my body right. I had to get my mind right in order to be a part of that.
And something that can be applied outside of just Frisbee in life in general is the idea you get what you put in, right? And it's, you mentioned infectious, like these guys in this team and you, in your case here, you've given everything to this program and there's this communal trust, this communal belief in that. And then coming out of it, you grow exponentially. So like, I think it's just a testament to players out there, no matter what your situation is, like buy into that program, buy into the belief of what's going on there, and you will receive so much more from it. So I think that just speaks volumes there in your case here, Garrett. And it was a successful season. You guys ended up with a 28-5 record. That's a fantastic record. Anyone out there, I think, would be pretty happy with that. And there were some big successes. The school as a whole got the first program got a first tournament win ever. That was up in at the D3 Florida warm-up, which is a fantastic tournament to go win. So that's a major highlight. You guys flew up to Notre Dame and played them for the first time and got a win there. So some really cool victories there. If you want to share a little bit with me a high of this season, it could be one of those, it could be somewhere else, but what is the highlight of the season for you?
Well, we went and competed at Notre Dame, as you said, David, and yes, that was a highlight, and I did enjoy that game very much. But what initially came to mind there is we went to Tallahassee, and it was against all the D1 competition. It was the Tally Classic, and it was nice going into that tournament with not very high expectations. It was one of those where we knew that we were playing against teams that would just be better because they have 70,000 students to choose from, and surely they can put together 14 to 20 good players. So we just went in with this underdog mentality that there was nothing to lose. And we went in there and we beat UCF. We beat FSU. We beat Auburn. We beat a lot of really, really good teams. And it was really, really exciting. The game that stood out the most that tournament was against FSU. It actually went to Universe Point, and I had no business getting the D, and I didn't even make a good play, but I just remember the disc getting swung from the sideline, and I was guarding the center handler, and I just remember feeling this breeze kick in, and I thought, wow, that kind of felt like the Holy Spirit. Like, even in that moment, I just knew, like, that was a weird little breeze, and my guy went up to get it. Great player. I'm not trying to diss him at all, but the disc just went through his hands. Like, that happens to any player, and I happened to just be right there to catch it, and we just moved it a little bit. And my really close and dear friend Andrew Cooper ended up getting the game-winning assist to JP Ponarelli, and it was electric because if we lose that game, we would have gotten eliminated in the quarterfinals and had to drive home. But instead, we advanced that game. We beat Auburn in the semis by a few goals, and unfortunately, we lost to UCF in the final. But that run there was so exciting because we knew that we didn't really – not that we didn't have any business being there. We certainly did. We just didn't expect it. So to be there despite not expecting it made it that much better.
Electric's a great word to use there. And that was a major D1 tournament, like you said, and Ave Maria is a D3 program. So to be invited to that just shows the growth of the program, especially over the last 2 years. So really fantastic there. And you did mention you guys ultimately ended up falling short of getting the tournament victory there. And a few weeks ago, we had on the team captains from UCF, the team that got it done ultimately in the championship against Ave Maria, and heard their perspective of just what a battle it was to play Ave, and especially how conditioned you guys' team is. So I'd love to have your take from that finals game. So we'll do a little compare and contrast, I guess. But walk me through that mental side of what you were going through in that finals game against UCF.
Well, I mean, our offense is very much dependent upon the chemistry of our seven players, but specifically our duo of Liam O'Rourke and Matt Lesniewski. And in the first half, they were connecting left and right. It was beautiful. Everything was in sync. Our two star players were doing their thing. But what happens when you play a good team like UCF is they recognize the pattern and they kind of know that that's the way that we're working the disc through. So they made really good adjustments in the second half. One of them that I noticed especially was they really were strict about forcing us side and trapping us to sideline. We've always struggled when we've been trapped to sideline. We thrive when we can work the disc through the middle of the field. So UCF, props to them, made it very difficult for us to swing the disc and get players like Liam and Isaac Landrum into power position so that they could deliver the big throw. And we had a lead that game, and we just unfortunately didn't finish through. Offensively, like I just said, we were struggling to swing it. Defensively, we all year played straight up man defense, which is very similar to how you play it in basketball. I think that a zone could have been effective to throw at times. Maybe not that particular game, but there are certainly points in the season where that could have been something. I always think it's good to just try something different once in a while just to see how it ends up. But again, props to UCF. They made the adjustment and they made some incredible catches there at the end, and they ended up getting it done.
Yeah, exactly. You've had a roller coaster of a season here. We mentioned the tournament victory. You guys had fallen short here in Tally. The team also traveled to Dallas, where unfortunately you guys just fell up a little bit short as well in the championship game. So it's kind of like a roller coaster season. Obviously, you have so many more wins, and you get to the big game, and you fall a little short. But this is all a learning process. Like, these games in the season, it's only meant to help develop the team. Right? There are some losses where it's like teams out on purpose sometimes lose a game. Like, they just try to work on certain elements of a particular style of play or something. So it's not the end of the world, right? The only thing that actually matters is regionals to try to get to nationals here. But looking at the season before regionals, these ups and downs, how do you as a player kind of take time in the middle of a season to reflect and say, hey, this is what we can take away from this tournament. Here's some really good takeaways here and what we can try to implement. How do you almost take a step back from just being all in on the field and say, and try to process some of these things?
Watching film comes to mind right away. And the last point of the UCF game was filmed. One of our guys, Alden, has always done such a good job of recording pivotal moments in games. And I like to study film. I like to think that I'm a student of the game. I know there are a lot of people out there who like to watch film too. I think it's very important. And I knew that I was part of the reason why we lost that game. I was also a part of the reason why we were in a position to win that game. It goes both ways when you're in there at the end, obviously. But I saw that I made a cut to the open side that really clogged space. It created a throw that ended up going into the dirt. UCF gets the turn. They end up scoring. And I watched that probably 50 times at least. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Felt like 50 times, at least 20. But anyways, I realized that's not a cut that I should be making on a low stall count. That's an opportunity where if the disc is on the sideline, you can cut deep to create space, or you just cut break side and have somebody fill for you. So I kept thinking of that over and over again. And when future games came, I try to think, what can I do to not clog the space? I don't want to make cuts to sideline to prevent this guy from doing what he needs to do. I also don't want to work the middle too much because I'm a popper. That's what I've always done. I love to cut middle and create open space. But in a hex offense, which is what Ave Maria plays, it's not good to have a guy cutting middle all the time. You want to be filtering in and out and making those sorts of triangular cuts and figure eights as well. So definitely just watching the film and just sitting back and thinking on it definitely helped me. And I know the other guys too throughout the course of the season.
I love it. You mentioned hex there too. I mentioned in the intro that you and I do the segments called At the Whiteboard, where we break down different elements of the game. And we did one on hex style of offense. So those out there, go check out to hear Garrett and I's thoughts on how to run an effective hex. But anyway, back to this season, you know, reflecting here. And this kind of, this point in the season, it brings us up to the regionals tournament, which, you know, the stage was set for a really epic rematch against Barry College in Georgia. It was hosted by Barry. Those are great guys. A few of their teammates and coach have been on this podcast, and we have a really nice relationship with them. But they're a very talented team. And, you know, UltiWorld is writing about this, that it was going to be the matchup between Ave and Barry. So give me your perspective entering this tournament. How do you gear yourself up for what you know is going to be an intense series of games?
So just like last year, and it actually worked out really well, the game that we played leading up to regionals was the alumni game. In this case, this year, it was the game before. Last year is a little bit different. But coming off of that game against the alumni team, it was probably our best game of the season. We played really well. We have the utmost respect for the alumni, David being one of them. And we knew that we were looking good and we were doing what we needed to do. And I was confident going into regionals. I knew that it wasn't like a shoe-in. I knew that we were the favorites and I was proud of that. But there's something to be said for coming in as the underdog. And after last year's season, for you and me, David, for that being our senior season, specifically talking about here, we kind of lost that cover of being the underdog because we had so much success and we were the runners up that year. So teams knew that we were good and we had beaten some top caliber teams. But mentally, I felt good. We had just played a great alumni game and the offense was clicking, and defensively we knew we could bring it. So what was hard though was knowing that we were traveling up to Barry and you're playing in front of their crowd. We weren't pulling an Ave crowd to Barry. I think there was one set of parents there, and David and Nick Fitz were there too. So we had about four Aves there, which was great. Shout out to you, David, of course, for being there. That was unbelievable. But that was hard. That part of my mentality was a little bit skewed, just knowing that you were playing, and I don't want to call Barry the enemy, but for lack of better term, enemy territory, competitive territory, not neutral territory. There's a big difference. Senior year, we played in Decatur, Alabama on beautiful fields in the middle of nowhere. This year, we played at Barry, a little bit of a disadvantage for us. So that's kind of where my headspace was going into this tournament.
Exactly. Now we're day one of the tournament. It's pool play. You guys played Union University, Barry College, Georgia College, and Embry-Riddle. Some very fine teams. We have a lot of relationships. Some of those players have actually been on the podcast. Walk me through that first day. You guys go 3-1. What are some reactions you had there?
Yeah, I mean, first game we played Embry, and Embry's always a good matchup for us. I love Jonah. Shout out to Jonah Hagstad. I love guarding him more than anybody else in Ultimate. So I got a good defensive matchup right away there. So I was happy about that because I knew I was going to really be at work. And offensively, we weren't great to start off, but we got going. Avi's always been a little bit slow that first game. We kind of have that reputation for starting off a little bit slow. But nonetheless, I mean, we did what we had to do against Embry. So I think we knocked them off 13-7. It was a pretty solid game. Barry was our second game. And unfortunately, a lot of our team, I shouldn't say it's unfortunate, but it's just that people didn't understand the magnitude of a Barry matchup. Granted, this had just started a year ago, so it's not as if we've been rivals with Barry for that long, but this is a rivalry that does exist, and it's something that you and I felt very much, David, last year, and a number of our seniors as well who've moved on. But there just wasn't this excitement and tenacity going into this game like I wanted there to be. And as someone coming in from the outside as a master's student, I didn't want to be the one saying, like, guys, this is Barry, like, this is it. Like, I was doing that, but I wasn't trying to be too much with it because I tried to realize my position of the team and, you know, obviously just trying to accept that, I guess. But nonetheless, Barry played great, and Barry always brings the energy. They've got all the celebrations. They make the noise. They had their fan base, so they beat us that day. But the thing that I thought about was we lost to them last year on the first day. So I just thought, you know what? We just got to bring it tomorrow. That's all that matters. We'll finish out today strong, and we did. We went on to play Union, and we beat them. We played Morehouse. We beat Morehouse. So I felt pretty good going into day two. I just knew that we'd have to flip the script just like Barry did on us the previous year. And I guess that's what brings us into day two, I'm assuming. We're about to get into that.
Yeah, I think you could definitely read where the next question goes here. But yeah, some highs and lows of the first day of the tournament there. So thanks for breaking that down. And you go into day two here. Give me the takeaways, though. You obviously mentioned some of that here from day one. But specifically for you, you guys, then you mentioned you lose to Barry, but you do win some other three other games, which are important. And you're basically a lock for the second seed. So does this allow to give you a level of comfortability? Like, how do you approach day two after a rocky day one, I guess, like playing against Barry?
Yeah, I mean, for anybody who's played in a two-day Frisbee tournament, you know that your body's hurting arguably the most at the end of day one. That's what I've always experienced. The last game of day one tends to be the hardest for me. And my left hamstring was in a lot of pain at the end of day one, to the point where I didn't even really play in our last game there against Morehouse. And I knew I had to rest up. But we went back to the Airbnb that night, me and the Ave guys, and we were able to just rest up and have a nice time. And we even jumped in the lake. It was like freezing cold, but it felt good just to kind of heal our bodies and, you know, eat some good food and just and obviously in the back of our minds, it's just Barry. It's like we have to get through Barry tomorrow and we need to bring it tomorrow. So that night's sleep wasn't the best, but, you know, we got some hours, which was good. But that there was definitely like you could just feel the presence of, you know, just in the back of our minds, like we know what we have to do tomorrow. Let's just enjoy tonight for what it is. Let's give our bodies the ability to rest and recuperate so that we can bring it tomorrow. And thankfully for me, that worked out really well. I popped quite a few Advil that Sunday morning, as did the other guys. And that's just what happens in Frisbee. You need to sometimes take the painkillers in order to keep going. That's just a part of it. And so that was kind of the in-between day one and day two for me and for the other guys.
I love it. And it is so intense. You play 7 games in 2 days. That's such a toll on your body. But here we are. It's Sunday morning, day two of the regionals tournament for Southeast Region D3 Frisbee. And you started off against Georgia College, and then you played Union University and got it done against both those teams fairly well. Union's a fantastic team, and it was a very competitive game, but you guys did pull through pretty well at the end. And that takes us to the championship game. Barry handled their side of the bracket, and it's Ave versus Barry. I won't give any spoilers. I let you share. Just break that game down for me.
Yeah, so just going back real quick to day one, halftime of the Barry game was super important for us because we knew that we probably weren't going to win that game on Saturday against Barry, but we had a really good halftime prep and just saying, like, guys, come on, this is what we've worked for all year. Let's get the energy up. So that was a big turning moment for us. Obviously, you, Dave, and Fitz were on the sidelines. So, like, all of a sudden you start to feel this shift and this change in energy, which we brought into day two. So I just wanted to incorporate that because I think for any team that's, you know, kind of felt a little bit funky throughout a tournament, there's like this pivotal moment when you know, like, okay, now we've got it. Like, now we have this mojo going. Let's turn this up. So, yes, Georgia College, Union Jacks, we got through them. And now it's Barry for the championship. And I just remember walking over to the field and hearing the Eminem song, like, you only got one shot, you know, don't miss your chance. This is your opportunity. Like, make the most of it. And man, I was like, I feel good. Like, I knew, like, I'm going to put everything I have out there. Like, I'm literally going to try so hard this game. And we came out that first half on fire. Like, oh my gosh, it still, I know, well, I won't spoil it quite yet. The game didn't go as I planned, but the first half did. Like, we punched Barry right in the mouth. And I don't mean that in a bad way against any Barry guys. Again, I respect you guys a lot, but that's what we did. Like, it was crazy. Like, we played lights out so well. And gosh, everything that we prepared for, we just did. And our defense was really good. And then it's so at halftime at 8-4, and I knew that Barry was going to do something in the second half. Like, Walter Ellard's an incredible coach. Colin Hill, phenomenal player. Mike Johnson, he's got UFA experience under his belt. Like, I knew, like, they're going to do something. And it's always hard when you're in the lead like that because you're like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, why would we change anything? Everything that we're doing is working. Let's just keep it up. So that's where we were at. We knew that Barry would probably throw a zone on us. So we just thought, all right, well, we just got to work it, you know, work it through the middle like we always do. And that second half, you know, props to Barry, they locked up in the zone. They got a ton of breaks in a row. I mean, we were up 8-4, and then I look over the scoreboard, and it's 8-7. We finally score to make it 9-7, and it's 9-8, 9-9. They go up 10-9, and these games are being played to 15, but it was a long game, so then the soft cap goes off, and a game that you think is going to 15 then is only going to 13, and we just weren't able – we didn't get a single break in the second half that I can think of. Like, we didn't score twice in a row. And at that point they had already scored like 4 times in a row and their home base was getting rowdy. And, we just kind of lost our edge and we weren't swinging it. We were getting stuck sideline, tunnel vision. The wind really picked up there too. I know I had at least one drop that it's like, man, I'd never drop that. Like, that disc could come to me 99 times, 100 times, and I'd catch it 99. But for whatever reason, that one time is the one when you just take your eye off it a little bit. You know, I have this vision, this memory of one of Barry's guys hucking it to Colin, and Colin made a beautiful bid and scored to win on Universe. And, you know, they deserved it. They did. Like, Barry really kept their cool that game. For me, that was a very emotional game. Like, I played with a lot of emotion that game, and there's something to be said for that. Like, that can be very good. But the team that prevails, I would say, most times is the team that kind of keeps their cool and, like, stays level-headed. And that's exactly what Barry did. Colin Hill plays cool. Like, he's chill. And their guys the same way. And then they get hype when they need to. And the whole game, I was, like, so on fire. And unfortunately, that fire and all of that good energy kind of turned to anxiety and fear. And, oh, no, we were just here last year. Oh, no, we're losing it again. And so for us, it got a little bit turbulent out there. It got a little bit wavy. And for them, it just stayed pretty cool. And yeah, congrats to them. They got it done, and they're going to Nationals for, I think, the 7th or 8th time in a row. So
I'll That's exactly what sports is about, though. It's highs and lows. It's so many ups and downs here. You know, just looking back at this past season, winning tournaments, losing tournaments, and, you know, ultimately falling to Barry. And just, like, props to you for, like, respecting Barry in that. I think that's what makes this sport special, is being able to recognize when someone works really hard and they got it. Like, you have to cheer on, because it is ultimately for the growth of the sport. It doesn't mean that the losing team hurts any less, but it's a call to, like, rise above yourself and to celebrate universally what the sport is about. So thanks for unpacking that there. You know, a lot to unpack and reflect on. I'm sure you have. I'm sure the team has. But this is what makes, like, college sport amazing. What college frisbee is amazing are these games, are this competitiveness. And it's obviously left a mark on you, right? You went back for another year to give of yourself. So I think a lot of people should play college sports. Obviously, it's not for everybody, but I think you can learn so much from it. As someone who has played 5 years of college frisbee, if you want to just, like, make a plug, you know, you've obviously grown so much for it, but why would anyone out there want to play college frisbee?
You'll meet an incredible community of people. I mean, I've always said this, like, there's nothing like throwing the disc around with 6 of your closest friends, 15 of your closest friends for that matter. I mean, normally you have about 20 guys on the roster. And so it's just a great way to stay in shape and just run around. And it's 75 grams. It's a piece of plastic. You can transport it anywhere. Super easy. Buy a pair of cleats for $30, or maybe you go a little crazy and spend over $100. But nonetheless, it's not an expensive sport. It's something that you can do for a long time. You know, it's not that hard to throw a disc. You just have to spend the time to learn how to do it well. But it's so fun. I mean, anybody, just give it a chance. That's what we've always talked about on the break side. It's an incredible sport, and I know it's gaining traction, and people deserve to play it.
I think a big point there is you'll meet some of the best friends you'll ever meet. And that seems to be a universal thing when people come on this podcast and talk about their college years, is these become some of the best friends you've ever had in your life. And that's what sport does. That's what college frisbee is. So, you know, if anyone out there hasn't gotten into and is in college age, go see what your college team is like. You won't regret it. Just give everything you have to it, buy into that program, and you will not regret it. Definitely not. And another, you know, kind of self-reflection question here for you, Garrett. You know, now officially your college career of ultimate frisbee is at an end. So if you want to reflect a little bit more and give us, you know, a highlight or two of your prior past 5 years of college frisbee, what are those?
Oh, I think right away to senior year playing Franciscan on their own turf. David and I, you and I did a podcast on that before we invented the Breakside podcast. It was called the Fishers of Men podcast for my one of my school classes there. And we envisioned exactly what we wanted to do. And the team knew exactly, like, we wanted to beat Franciscan. We wanted to go up there and do our thing. And we did. We beat them on Universe. And I don't think there's ever been such a good mentality from a sports team, at least that I've played on, than that game. Like, we went into that with the right mindset in a not a hostile environment. We're talking frisbee here. Obviously, it's not hostile, but it's in an unfriendly environment. And we got the job done. And I think there's something to be said for doing the proper mental preparation and speaking things into existence in order for them to happen. It's like, if you don't talk it into existence, if you don't write, like David, you always say, like, the importance of writing a goal, like, if you don't do these tangible things beforehand to prep, you can't expect these things to just magically happen. Like, you have to say it over and over again and really believe in that. And so for me, that was a huge goal. Like, hearing about Franciscan for so many years and then getting that opportunity. I wanted to get that opportunity again at Nationals this year. It didn't work out, but we got to play them on their turf, and man, that's definitely the biggest highlight of Ave Frisbee.
I love it. And I was a part of that team, so you just sharing that, it just brought a smile to my face and the excitement and a testament. Like, get a group of guys and work hard towards something, and it will be some of the most fun you've ever had in your life and most rewarding time here. Now, Garrett, having known you your entire Frisbee college career, I've gotten to see you play quite a bit. And a few of those years, you were one of my captains on the team. You were a captain for the team for 2 years, I believe. And then your senior year and actually this past year, you were not a captain. But that doesn't diminish the impact or the role that you can have, that anyone can have, but specifically you. You have been a dynamic leader, a very passionate, vocal player on the field, and that was very apparent this past a couple weeks ago at regionals when you did mention the team was down. You rallied the guys. You were very vocal and positive and affirming and building up of the team. And that goes to show that leadership can come in many different ways, and it doesn't have to be solely that captain figure on a team, that anyone can step into it. So I would think that kind of, you know, I don't want to summarize your entire college career in a little bit, but that's been a mark of who you are as a player. So if you want to share a piece of advice for college players out there, they're trying to find their role that is maybe not that leadership captain role as a title, but that they can still have an impact on the field and on the team.
Being a learner of the game is where it all starts. And I was grateful to be a part of a team for a long time, and my role changed a lot. And there's a lot of parallels that you can make between the role that you play on a team and the role that you play in a business, right? Your role is susceptible to change. It's good for it to change, because if it always just stayed the same and was constant, it would be hard to grow in that role, like in terms of what you do. So the way that I started was I was a learner of the game. I asked questions. I threw a lot just to try and get better at it. And that's my advice to guys, is just ask the questions. Just be vulnerable, be open, right? If you want to grow as an athlete, specifically in Frisbee, you need to just ask people who know what they're doing. Like, you have to be willing to say, like, I'm new to this game. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm using my background in these sports, but that'll only bring me so far. Please teach me. Please show me. And that's when you become a student of the game. And then, I mean, you're always a student of the game. Like, even now, like for me watching film, like I'll always be a student in that sense. But then you get to be the one to give, because you've learned so much, and then you get to assume those leadership roles if they're given to you, and you get to follow through on that. So that's just where you start. Just be a student. You know, we're all students. We're all trying to learn something here. And if it's Frisbee, that's great. Just ask the guys around you, and they'll help you out for sure.
Really appreciate that. Never stop learning, and don't be afraid to be vulnerable. Garrett, thank you for all of that here. And this kind of brings to the close of the interview. I do want to open it up, though. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, I'm just going to miss gonna miss getting to talk about being a player for Ave Frisbee. I just, for all the guys listening who've played for Ave Frisbee, or who will play for Ave Frisbee, who are currently playing for Ave Frisbee, you know, just soak it up. It's an incredible ride, incredible experience. For all my non-Ave Frisbee people out there too who are listening, really just cherish your experience too, because it's the best. It really is. And sometimes it's hard, and sometimes you kind of think, like, why did I do this? Maybe this wasn't the right thing for me to play, but you quickly realize, no, there's so much good here, and there's so much growth that you can contribute to this amazing sport.
I appreciate it, Garrett. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for taking this dive into this semester, sharing the highs and the lows of it, but ultimately that it does lead to growth, and it does lead to some of the best memories you could make with a group of guys that it's going to be with you for the rest of your life. So, Garrett, once again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, David.
Absolutely. And this brings us to the end of episode 50. Before we close off here, make sure you check out the Breakside on Instagram at Breakside_podcast. This is David Adamitis with Garrett Hounan from Ave Maria. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.